Thank you, Sharon Hadley. God bless you for this morning's offertory. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to find Luke chapter 3 and verse 23. Luke chapter 3 and verse 23. If you're a guest with us this morning, we are studying God's Word verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And in Luke's gospel, we have come to the end of chapter 3, and we need to ask a really, really important question this morning. Can we learn anything from Jesus' genealogy? Genealogy is the study of one's roots, their background, their family tree. And all across the room this morning, there are people with different thoughts and different opinions about researching and studying genealogy. Of course, there are those who think that would be a waste of time or unnecessary. However, there are others who have this as a very fun and exciting hobby that you do in your spare time. And yet there are even others who they are really searching for significance or even favor by discovering something worthwhile in their genealogy or their family tree. Undoubtedly, each and every year, people spend a large amount of time, a large amount of energy, and for some, a large amount of money researching and studying genealogy. In the Gospels, on two occasions, you will find the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. You will find it in Matthew chapter 1, I believe verses 1 through 18, or approximately right in there. And then you'll also find it in Luke chapter 3, verses 23 through the end of the chapter. Now, it may surprise you that those two genealogies are very different from one another. And I'm going to tell you why in just a moment, but let me share with you some reasons why genealogies in the Bible were so important. And these are from John MacArthur. If you have a MacArthur study Bible, you may have come across these, but it's one of my resources for this past week. Genealogies in the Bible, number one, help determine land divisions. They can be still used in that same way today. Number two, to determine inheritance rights. If a family member dies, who receives their inheritance? It helps determine who pays taxes and where they pay taxes. It determines who is eligible for serving in the office of priest. And then lastly, it helps in the process or the action of Levirate marriage. You say, Brother Richard, what is Levirate marriage? Well, I'm not going to go into that this morning, but that's the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. Levirate marriage, her eventually marrying someone from her family down the line to take care of her. And so those are some reasons as to why biblical genealogies were so important. But let me talk just a moment about these two genealogies, if I may. Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3. Well, the first difference is that Luke works from the present backward. Matthew works from the past to the present. Does that make sense? Luke works from today and or then and goes backward. Matthew started with the very beginning and worked to the present. Matthew's genealogical record of the Lord Jesus includes 42 names. Luke's genealogical record includes 77 names. Matthew traced Jesus all the way back to Abraham. Luke traced Jesus all the way back to Adam. And so these are two very different genealogies. Are these differences discrepancies? I wouldn't call them discrepancies. Can they be reconciled? Of course, if we have all or had all of the information. What I would say to you this morning simply is this: Matthew's genealogy is through Jesus' earthly father, Joseph. Traces his genealogy through his earthly father, Joseph. Whereas Luke traces Jesus' genealogy through his earthly mother, Mary. Now, he's never going to mention Mary's name, but I think that that is the path that he carves out, and Mary is certainly going to play a prominent role in Luke's gospel. Now, I'm going to do something this morning, attempt to do something that is the faint, not for the faint of heart. I'm going to attempt to read and pronounce correctly these names. The good news is that nobody in the room will know if I've done good or bad. So I find great comfort in that. I've listened, I've practiced, I've rehearsed multiple times throughout the week. It's a great use of Bible apps. If you have a Bible app and you choose a translation that will read for you, at least someone thinks that the Bible app has pronounced the names correctly, and we trust that they will. And so because all of God's Word is inerrant and inspired and useful for training in righteousness, including the genealogies, if you are able, would you stand with me for just a moment in honor of God's Word? Follow along as I begin reading Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 23 and through the end of the chapter. Now, Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matthat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janna, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathiah, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Maath, the son of Mattathiah, the son of Simei, the son of Joseph, the son of Judah, the son of Joannes, the son of Resa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adai, the son of Cozum, the son of Elmadam, the son of Er, the son of Josi, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Matthat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonan, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meli, the son of Menon, the son of Mattatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashon, the son of Amminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Let's pray. Father, your word is true. Every single jot and tittle, Genesis to Revelation. Father, thank you for the genealogy of Christ. For these next few moments, Lord, give us an undivided heart to hear and to see what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name that we pray, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. What can we learn from Jesus' genealogy? First of all, notice in verse 23 that Jesus' genealogy acknowledges his ministry. It acknowledges his ministry. Verse 23, now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. If you'll remember from last Sunday morning, we saw the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descended from heaven. The Father said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And from that point forward, Jesus began, he kicked off his earthly ministry and his genealogy. Here in verse 23, Luke even acknowledges his earthly ministry. Now, that age, 30, it's an interesting age. Remember, that was also the age of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, 6 months older than the Lord Jesus. But the number 30 is not just a very interesting age, but it's the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It's at least the beginning of John's ministry for a while. But it also, in the Old Testament, plays a very important role. Did you know, if you're reading through the Bible in a year, you probably have recently read this, but in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 46, do you know how old Joseph was when he became prime minister of Egypt? Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph became prime minister. He became the leader of Egypt at 30 years of age. 30 years of age was also significant in the life of King David. Do you know when King David first became king? 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 40. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. So, like the Lord Jesus, was Joseph a foreshadowing of Christ? Like the Lord Jesus, was King David, and Christ being in the line of David? And then in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1, and verse 1, how old was Ezekiel when he began his prophetic ministry. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. Jesus' genealogy acknowledges his earthly ministry beginning at 30 years of age. And 30 years of age is significant for me as well, because the Lord allowed me to begin pastoring the very first church I pastored in September of 2005 at the age of 30. And so I'm grateful to know this about the Lord Jesus, as well as the other biblical characters, and grateful for this significance. But not only does Jesus' genealogy acknowledge his ministry, but also notice there in verse 23 that Jesus' genealogy affirmed his deity. It affirmed his deity. Look at the end of verse 23. Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, and then notice the next words. This is very odd that Luke would write it this way. Being as was supposed the son of Joseph. Now, did Luke not know what happened with Jesus? Well, of course he knew. He told us what happened back in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Luke knew what happened. He knew that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He knew that Jesus was born of a virgin. But the rest of the world, they supposed that Joseph was Jesus' father. I mean, after all, that was Mary's husband. Joseph did not divorce her, as was originally thought, because originally it was thought that she had been unfaithful to him. She's pregnant, but yet still a virgin. Or she's pregnant. Well, how do you get pregnant? Joseph's mind, she's been unfaithful. And yet God told Joseph, keep her. Keep the child. And Joseph would go on to adopt the Lord Jesus as his earthly son and treat him as one of his own. But in a very unique way, for you and for me, the genealogy and the way that Luke describes Jesus' family tree going through Mary, even though he doesn't mention Mary's name, affirmed Jesus' deity, being fully God. And then there's a third lesson. A third lesson that we learn from the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. Not only does it acknowledge his ministry and affirm his deity, but it announces his humanity. It announces his humanity. Now, I'm not going to read or even refer to all of these names again, because once was enough. However, I want to point out four very familiar, recognizable names. Look at verse 31 of Luke chapter 3. Jesus Christ was the son of David. He was the son of King David. He was the son of the King David Now, you know when I say son in the biblical writers, we're talking about great, 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 great grandson, right? Jesus was the son of the King David in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4, that became king at age 30. And so Jesus Christ, being the fulfillment of prophecy, because the promised Messiah had to come from the line of David. By the way, both Matthew's genealogy and Luke's genealogy intersect at David and at Abraham. But Jesus Christ, being the fulfillment of prophecy, coming from the line of David, was the son of David. Verse 34, he was also the son of Abraham. Verse 34 says, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, Abraham of Genesis 15, of the same Abram of Genesis 12. Jesus Christ was the great, 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 great grandson of Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, demonstrating that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah for the nation of Israel. And so we pray today for physical peace in Israel, for physical peace in Jerusalem, for an end to the war and an end to terrorism. But we also pray for the spiritual peace of Jerusalem. Because as it stands today, the overwhelming majority of Jews in this nation and around the world do not recognize Jesus as their promised Messiah. But he is, being the son of Abraham. And then a third name you'll notice in verse 38. The son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam. Yes, the Adam from Genesis. The Adam, the first human being, the husband of Eve, Jesus Christ, all the way back, was the great, 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 great grandson of Adam. Demonstrating that he is not only the Savior for the Jews, but he is also Savior for the world, brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ is the only name under heaven, Acts 4:12, by which men and women and boys and girls will be saved. But not only that, it's the only name under heaven by which they can be saved. There is no other way to heaven, ladies and gentlemen, for Gentile and Jew alike, than through Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, the son of Adam. Well, how could Jesus Christ be the Savior of the Jews and the Savior of the Gentiles? Because Luke 3:38 says he was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. Fully man. Lived to be 33 years of age. Started his ministry at age 30. We saw a glimpse of his life at age 12. We read about his birth at the beginning of Luke. Fully man. And at the very same time, fully God. And so when he died on the cross, he died on the cross for your sin and for my sin. He paid our debt that we could not pay. And he made it possible for every man and every woman and every boy and every girl, whomever will confess him and receive him as Lord and Savior, that he or she can be saved. Let me show you two other passages of Scripture and then we will be done. I want you to turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. Follow along as I read. For if by the one man's offense, and that one man was Adam, if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, that's Adam, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, that's Jesus, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, that's Adam, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, that's Jesus, many will be made righteous. And then look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthian church, referred to Jesus as the second man. 1 Corinthians 15, 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, that's the Lord Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. That means that you're born physically first, and if you put your faith and trust in Christ, you can be born spiritually after that. Verse 47, the first man was of the earth, made of dust, that's Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, that's Adam, so also are all those who are made of dust, that's us. And as is the heavenly man, that's Jesus, so also are those who are heavenly. And we have been born the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man, that's Jesus. But you got to put your faith and trust in Christ. And so if you haven't heard anything I've said this morning, let me boil it down to this. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, died on the cross to be your Savior. And if you're here today, whether you are man, woman, boy, girl, young, old, if you're here today and you've never called on the name of the Lord to save you, you've been trusting in self, you've been trusting in money, you've been trusting in your intelligence, you've been trusting in your genealogy. Today I'm going to invite you to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you would do that for the very first time today, in just a moment after I finish praying and while we're standing and singing, I'm going to invite you to make your way here to the front and let me rejoice with you and pray with you and celebrate with you and counsel with you. For some of you teenagers, maybe you made that decision at winter retreat this weekend. You called on the name of the Lord to save you for the very first time. Well, today and this morning, this is a great opportunity for you to share that with your church. For you to share that with other brothers and sisters in Christ who will support you and encourage you. And in the same way, if that's true of you, I would invite you today to come to the front, let Brother Ronnie know what you've done. Let's talk about following the Lord and believers' baptism and that next step of faith. If you're a guest here this morning, and the Holy Spirit is leading you to unite with a congregation that believes that the only way to heaven is through faith in Christ. Again, if that's where the Holy Spirit is leading you this morning today, we would invite you to come to formally and officially unite with us in church membership. Maybe you need to come here to the front to pray. Just you and the Lord. You are certainly welcome to do that. But our invitation will be for you this morning. And hopefully and prayerfully, we've learned some good things this morning from Jesus' genealogy. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we bless you, praise you, thank you, give you glory and honor that Jesus Christ is your only Son, the Savior of the Jews and the Savior of the Gentiles, the Savior of the world. Father, would you give your gift of faith this morning to those who have never believed? Give that gift of faith to call upon the name of the Lord and save them. Give them courage to respond. Call brothers and sisters to connect with this local body. Help us, Lord, to be ready to give an answer and a defense that Jesus is the only way when we are asked or called upon by a watching world. Thank you for the genealogy of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front. Today we would invite you to respond publicly to God's Word.